This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Fair Trade Puts Science First, Politics Second is a guest column by American Farm Bureau Federation President Bob Stallman in the European Economic and Social Committee's publication, What Does Business Expect from TTIP? Stallman noted in the column that AFBF supports an ambitious trade agreement that would remove significant agricultural barriers between the U.S. and the European Union. In response to a number of state-by-state GMO labeling initiatives and growing production bans, a group of grower organizations in Idaho, with assistance from national groups including Farm Bureau, have drafted proactive GMO labeling and production protection legislation. The legislation is likely to be introduced during the next legislative session. As the Christmas Eve cake rush approaches, Japanese grocery stores are limiting customers to a maximum of 2 packages of butter each. Last week, the government announced its latest plan for emergency imports to ease shortages of the spread. The butter shortfall stems from several factors, including stressed-out dairy cows, aging farmers, rising costs, and trade and price restrictions. Christmas is a time of giving, but beware of giving your pets more than they bargained for this festive period. According to veterinary experts, Christmas is one of the busiest times for emergency surgeries and incidents of poisoning. From tinsel to trifle, the trappings of the festive period represent many potential hazards for indoor pets, and owners are being urged to recognize the dangers. The Senate has approved tax extender legislation. Passage of the bill means farmers and ranchers are one step closer to tax laws that will let them reinvest in their businesses, said American Farm Bureau Federation President Bob Stallman in a statement. Farm Bureau is urging President Barack Obama to sign the temporary provisions into law for 2014. Year-end legislation will delay a decision on listing the sage-grouse under the Endangered Species Act until sometime after the current fiscal year. That means a decision on the listing won't come until after the end of the current fiscal year on September 30, 2015. Keeping the sage-grouse from being listed would actually be better for the bird, said the American Farm Bureau Federation's Ryan Yates. That's because out of the 1,600 species already listed under the Endangered Species Act, only 26 have been recovered and delisted from the Act. According to Yates, conservation efforts from the private sector and from state wildlife agencies are doing much more to support positive recovery than any listing under the Federal Endangered Species Act would do. Breakfast lovers be warned. A new regulation is set to take effect in California at the beginning of next year that will force hen houses to allocate significantly more room to each egg-laying chicken. Birds, long afforded a minimum of only 67 square inches apiece, will now need roughly 116 square inches, a more than 70% increase. If eggs are to be sold in the state, that extra space won't come free of charge, a cost that will almost certainly fall on consumers. Egg prices could jump by as much as 20% in California as a result of the new rules, Dermot J. Hayes, an agribusiness professor at Iowa State University in Ames, told Bloomberg. But California's new regulations could lead to more expensive eggs nationally, too. Nearly a third of the eggs Californians consume are laid elsewhere, and Californians consume a lot of eggs. The state is home to more than 10% of the country's population and, as a result, a sizable chunk of U.S. egg consumption. We take pleasure in answering thus prominently the communication below, expressing at the same time our great gratification that its faithful author is numbered among the friends of the sun. Dear editor, I am 8 years old. Some of my little friends say there is no Santa Claus. Papa says, if you see it in the sun, it's so. Please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus? Virginia O'Hallen. Virginia, your little friends are wrong. They have been affected by the skepticism of a skeptical age. They do not believe except they see. They think that nothing can be which it is not comprehensible by their little minds. All minds, Virginia, whether they be men's or children's, are little. In this great universe of ours, man is a mere insect, an ant, in his intellect as compared with the boundless world about him, as measured by the intelligence capable of grasping the whole of truth and knowledge. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist, and you know that they abound and give to your life its highest beauty and joy. Alas, how dreary would be the world if there were no Santa Claus. It would be as dreary as if there were no Virginias. There would be no childlike faith then, no poetry, no romance to make tolerable this existence. We should have no enjoyment except in sense and sight. The eternal light with which childhood fills the world would be extinguished. Not believe in Santa Claus? You might as well not believe in fairies. You might get your papa to hire men to watch in all the chimneys on Christmas Eve to catch Santa Claus, but even if you did not see Santa Claus coming down, what would that prove? Nobody sees Santa Claus, but that is no sign that there is no Santa Claus. The most real things in the world are those that neither children nor men can see. Did you ever see fairies dancing on the lawn? Of course not, but that's no proof that they are not there. Nobody can conceive or imagine all the wonders there are unseen and unseeable in the world. You tear apart the baby's rattle and see what makes the noise inside, but there is a veil covering the unseen world which not the strongest man, nor even the united strength of all the strongest men that ever lived could tear apart. Only faith, poetry, love, romance can push aside that curtain and view and picture the supernal beauty and glory beyond. Is that all real? Ah, Virginia, in all this world there is nothing else real and abiding. No Santa Claus? Thank God he lives and lives forever. 1,000 years from now, Virginia, say, nay, 10 times 10,000 years from now, he will continue to make glad the heart of childhood. Francis B. Church's editorial, Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus, was an immediate sensation and went on to become one of the most famous editorials ever written. It first appeared in the New York Sun in 1897, over 100 years ago, and was reprinted annually until 1949, when the paper went out of business. 36 years after her letter was printed, Virginia O'Hanlon recalled the events that prompted her letter. Quite naturally, she believed in Santa Claus, for he had never disappointed her. But when less fortunate little boys and girls said there wasn't any Santa Claus, she was filled with doubts. She asked her father, and he was a little evasive on the subject. It was a habit in the O'Hanlon family that whenever any doubts came up as to how to pronounce a word or some question of historical fact was in doubt, they wrote to the question and answer column in the Sun. Her father would always say, "If you see it in the Sun, it's so," and that settled the matter. "Well, I'm just going to write the Sun and find out the real truth," she said to her father. He said, "Go ahead, Virginia. I'm sure the Sun will give you the right answer, as it always does." And so Virginia sat down and wrote her parents' favorite newspaper. Her letter found its way into the hands of a veteran editor, Francis P. Church. Son of a Baptist minister, Church had covered the Civil War for the New York Times and had worked on the New York Sun for 20 years, more recently as an anonymous editorial writer. Church, a sardonic man, had for his personal motto, "Endeavor to clear your mind of cant." When controversial subjects had to be tackled on the editorial page, especially those dealing with theology, the assignments were usually given to Church. Now he had in his hands a little girl's letter on a most controversial matter, and he was burdened with the responsibility of answering it. "Is there a Santa Claus?" the childish scrawl in the letter asked. At once, Church knew that there was no avoiding the question. He must answer, and he must answer truthfully. And so he turned to his desk and he began his reply, which was to become one of the most memorable editorials in newspaper history. Church married shortly after the editorial appeared. He died in April 1906, leaving no children. Virginia O'Hanlon went on to graduate from Hunter College with a Bachelor of Arts degree at age 21. The following year, she received her master's from Columbia, and in 1912, she began teaching in the New York City school system, later becoming a principal. After 47 years, she retired as an educator. Throughout her life, she received a steady stream of mail about her Santa Claus letter, and to each reply she attached an attractive printed copy of the church editorial. Virginia O'Hanlon Douglas died on May 13, 1971, at the age of 81, in a nursing home in Valette, New York. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.